I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. What a delight this week. We are talking with youth leaders from C3 around the world. Andrew and Jesse Schwartz from Atlanta. Welcome.
Hello.
Good to see you guys. Jesse Ditchfield from the Ox and SYD in Sydney.
Hey, how you going, guys?
And Sarah, all the way from Los Angeles. Great to have you, Sarah.
Good to be here. Hey, guys.
Today is an amazing day for youth ministry because when I was a kid, there were 3-4 billion people in the world, and now there's nearly 8. And all of them got born young. Nobody got born old. So that it's like half the world is under the age of 25. So you guys are absolutely essential in today's world. And so let me just chat quickly with Andrew and Jesse Schwartz. I know Jesse quite well because she is my PA in America, besides running multiple youth groups, besides working at the Atlanta Church. She is like a gun worker. I'm praying for you, Andrew. I'm not sure how the household runs, but I'm sure that it runs brilliantly. And they got two boys, and here we are, as well as being a mother of two rowdy, like, boys, my Lord. We salute you today, Schwartzes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tell us about the youth ministry in Atlanta.
Youth ministry in Atlanta is, we're probably averaging, 50 to 60, somewhere around there. If everybody came, maybe 70. Students. We meet on Monday nights. We have a service that lasts 2 hours. Well, basically the first hour up front is all hang time. We put out a basketball goal. We put out a volleyball net. We play four square, board games. We always have food. And for the first hour, we just try to let them build like this camaraderie of playing outside, connecting, having fun. We put chalk out the other day and they painted all these murals and I had to rinse them all away, of course, so Pastor Jeff wouldn't see them. But and then the next hour, we do a bi-weekly schedule. So we might have a service where all our worship is student-led, our production student-led, and we preach a message. We really try to raise up all of our youth leaders to be on the preaching team. And then on the other weeks, we actually do a connect night where we actually discuss for an hour, but the things that we discuss are all sermon series related. So if we're doing a sermon series, the connect groups, high school boys at high school boys, middle school at middle school, they just discuss the sermon series and break it down. But one thing that we've incorporated over the last year with our students is to get them more involved in serving in church on Sundays. So that's why we moved youth ministry from Sunday to Monday, is so that they can all serve. And a lot of our youth leaders serve, a lot of our students serve, and kids. I feel like over these last couple of months, we've grown significantly, but I don't want to say just really in numbers, but I really think just spiritually. And these kids, they love the house. We're almost like friends with them in this way, but it's been great.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are amazing. Sometimes when I've rung up Jesse just to talk about other matters, she's saying, look, I'm just at the youth camp. I've just got to put the students to bed and then I'll be able to talk. And then the next time it's like, yeah, just rushing out to Connect Group, just going off to youth. And so it is astonishing that you guys have got a lot of momentum in your private life. Jesse, you had a youth summer camp, and you had 8 other churches join, right?
Yeah, we had 8. Well, it was 8 total churches, including us. 7 of them were C3s around the U.S. We even had one of the LA crew come out and join us. It's something that we've been wanting for a little while. COVID stopped some of that from happening, but we've really wanted smaller C3s specifically in the area and in the US that can't put on a camp, or it's harder to get to a camp.
Right.
We wanted to invite a lot of the smaller, you know, all our parents get C3 right. Americas or a C3 conference, and they have friends all over the world because of C3. And this year, a lot of these students now have the same thing. They have friends in Jacksonville now, and friends in Nashville now, and friends in Boston now because of a fun summer camp.
Friends are everything for young people, right?
Oh, that's
is the whole deal. And helping parents help their children find great friends is one of the greatest things that you can actually do as a youth leader. Because show me a teenager's friends and you can pretty well predict their future. And I think it's so important that we help all these guys, you know, find their friends, especially in things like youth camps. And in our big May global conference in Singapore next year, we want as many youth to come as possible. It's called the outpouring. And in the book of Joel, it says, I will pour out my spirit and your sons and daughters will prophesy. So the fact is that the outpouring of the spirit isn't for just old people. Yeah. It is for teenagers. And let's just help and encourage and urge people to make the trip to Singapore and parents to bring their teenagers so that we can actually experience a whole new generation of spirit-filled young men and women.
In May 2024, we are gathering in Singapore for the Outpouring, our C3 Church Global Conference. I personally want to invite you to join with us in Singapore. We hear the sound of an enormous outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the next season for the church around the world. And you and I will be part of it, pouring our lives out on the altar together in Singapore. Every C3 church around the world will receive fresh fire and be renewed with fresh oil for a new day of increase across the whole earth. Young men and women from around the world being touched by God are seeing visions and declaring the future. This conference is open to the whole C3 family. Bring your pastors, leaders, board members, youth leaders, worship leaders, creative teams, business people, and influencers. This will be a historic breakthrough event. It's time for revival. Head to c3churchglobal.com to register.
So Sarah, tell us about the youth group there in Los Angeles.
Awesome. C3 LA's youth ministry is called Vital. And so we include middle school and high school students. And yeah, I get to oversee that with my husband, Josh. We're both the youth directors here. And it's just a blast. We really try. I think the thing that kind of forms and shapes our ministry as a whole is our heart to connect it back to the church. And so our rhythm as a youth ministry kind of runs pretty similar to our church. And so we kind of have weekly events on Wednesday night. And so the first Wednesday, our church as a whole does a really great night service and all day fasting and prayer called First Wednesday. And so that first Wednesday of the week, we're getting youth there to prayer, to fasting, and to the night service. And then the second week, actually today is the first night we're ever doing it, but we've officially launched our first high school neighborhood group, which is like what we call our small groups here. And so Josh and I will host a neighborhood group in our home for all of our high school students. And then the third week of every month, the third Wednesday is always Vital Night. And that's similar to what Andrew and Jesse were sharing, where we've got a full-on service. We've got our backyard at one of our locations that's got like a life-size Jenga and cornhole and all the things. And again, I just love what you said, but it really gives them that space to like just connect and maybe have conversations with people they don't know yet and get to build friendships with other students. And then we go into a time of worship and the word and ministry as well. And then the last week of the month, we come back to a more intimate setting where we do neighborhood groups again. And so right now we've got about 20 students come in consistently to Vital Night. We also run a Bible club at a local Christian high school that we just recently got to start, which has been absolutely amazing. And we see about 20 to 25 students there every week. And so we're just trying to reach
them.
So
that's just new, right, Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you just got a breakthrough.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. In your high school.
Yeah, it's been amazing. We got connected. There's a local Christian high school about like 8 minutes away from our Highland Park location, and we had reached out via email. I'm really grateful for one of our executive pastors, Pastor James, because I've been pretty intimidated by this role, if I'm honest, because I didn't grow up knowing Jesus, so I never really had a youth group experience. And so
but
for a long time.
You grew up in LA, right?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Grew up a heathen in LA. But yeah, he just really encouraged us, like, start cold calling high schools and other high schools that we know and just let them know that you're around and you're there. And so we had emailed and called one of them, just letting them know we were available to serve in any way and that our heart was for them and to see them flourish. And we got a call letting us know that their worship team for a retreat backed out and they were really needing a worship team in 2 weeks for a retreat. And so thanks to our incredible church and the worship team and our worship pastor, Ella Chamaco, we got to get a team together and go bring worship. And that kind of opened the door for the rest of our relationship with them. And it's just been amazing.
So good. So good, girl. You're getting into the high schools. And that's where youth ministries really always have to focus. If we can just break through with the leadership, with the headmasters, with the teachers, and get a spot in their assemblies or anywhere in there, and obviously take something along that's pretty dynamic so that mm-hmm. they'll feel attracted. I know our guys used to do pancakes for breakfast across the road, and they'd just do breakfast mornings and they'd have a team down there because a lot of the kids just got sort of left home without any breakfast and they'd have pancakes.
And we still do that, Pastor Phil.
Can you remember that, Jesse?
I can.
You still do it?
Yeah, I was a teenager at school and there were pancakes, youth leaders coming in, serving pancakes, connecting, pointing all the teenagers, high schools to youth. And then today we're still doing it, Pastor Phil. So we're still connecting.
Where do you, what schools do you do it?
We're at Oxford Falls at the moment. I'd love to get into a few other schools such as Davidson High and Barrenjoey High as well. So we're reaching out to those schools
Fantastic.
At the moment. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you and Eloise are doing a great job there. And you oversee all, how many locations? Seven locations?
There's seven locations, yes.
And so you get all the youth from there and get them all together occasionally?
On a Friday night, yeah, we combine them all together into like clusters of those locations. So two of the locations cluster together for a big combined night. And then the other five north locations cluster together for a big night as well. So like on Friday nights, we're combined as like the generation of youth all together. And it's very similar to Sarah, Andrew, Jess, you guys. Like we do a service night and then the other week's like a connect group night. And exactly, Sarah, feeding into the Sundays. I think the thing I do not want to do is just build a big, you know, Friday night youth ministry, but really see all these teenagers step in to, you know, turning 18, 19, 20 into the body and the life of church on a Sunday. Because I think that's the biggest dropout point too. And I think we've really missed and failed our job if we don't see these teenagers step into that for their whole life as well. I really want to steward that. So that Sunday buy-in.
So Jesse, it's a pretty widespread known statistic that if you can reach the teenagers, you actually really improve the chances of the parents coming into church, because even if they don't like the church, they'll go because they're teenagers.
Yes.
Are going there. And I think, Sarah, you've got that experience in LA where you got a few parents who've turned up, the families have turned up because the teenagers are coming.
Yeah, we've seen a couple. It's been really beautiful through our connection with that high school. We've actually seen a couple families now plant themselves in C3 LA and start to attend regularly, and even got to see one of our students' older brothers get saved through coming. And so it's just been pretty incredible to see. Yeah, kind of like you mentioned, that pull that Gen Z can have and teenagers can have on their parents to really help them root themselves in a church.
So Jesse and Andrew, tell us how we as pastors can help you in the church to increase youth coming in. It's not always an issue of money, I don't think. There's other ways that we can help. But if it is finances, then talk about that. How can churches help reach teenagers?
Come on.
I think that holding us accountable to what we are speaking into a teenager's world, and then holding us accountable for our own spiritual life. So like my direct oversight is Pastor Kim, and then we have Pastor Jeff and Sunny, and they're always asking, well, what are you doing in your own spiritual life? And really holding us accountable, because if we're not filling ourselves, we've got nothing to give to these students. Gen Z, and we actually have another generation that's all our middle schoolers, is Gen Alpha, that they want all of it. They want the truth. They want they want to know what they're made for. They want to know their purpose. And if we don't have it, if we can't show them the love of Jesus to answer that, they will go find it somewhere else because they have a lot of other voices telling them all of that and all of the lies. And so that if we're not filling ourselves up and other people holding us accountable, they'll go get it from somewhere else.
Right. Now, Atlanta has been traditionally a more conservative city, but out there in LA, Sarah, you would find that the voices into teenagers' worlds, the kind of values that are being espoused, and even the anti-Christian feeling that is growing all over America, it seems to me, in schools is quite phenomenal. How have you handled that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the best thing, and I am so grateful for Pastor Jake and Nick because they model this so well, both personally in their lives and from our Sunday platform as well. It's sharing the truth really compassionately and firmly, and knowing why we believe the Bible is credible and true in different ways. And so I think when it comes to even with students, we've gotten to pastor and shepherd a lot of students walking through different values and even things like different attractions and all of that. And I think the best thing that we've seen modeled and we get to do now as well is really explain, like, start at the basics of God's heart for them and help them to get to know who God is, because we've seen time and time again, once they're convinced of God's goodness and the fact that he's for them and wants a relationship with them, then they're willing to consider his design for their life and the way that he's designed them to flourish, whether it be through their sexuality, what they do with their finances, because a lot of our high school kids have jobs, like whatever it might be. So I think we really try to take a big picture view and really help them develop a worldview. Because I love what Jesse said of they're even in middle school, they want it all and they want to know. So instead of trying to tackle an issue and really nitpick it apart, really get to the worldview level and help them understand that God has the right to be our authority and our Lord in every area. And we've seen more fruit pursuing it that way, I believe.
That's great. So Mr. Ditchfield, there in Sydney, how have you found the changing landscape of values in the school age children?
Yeah. Oh, I think you've got everything under the sun. I think if you want to put it simply, in Sydney, I think in America, around the whole world, it's I think we need youth leaders, youth pastors more than ever. And I think it's being more radical to be a Christian in your school, to stand up for what you believe in and to hold that so firm. That's what we're pouring into. I think connect groups are so the sleeping giant, or small groups are the sleeping giant for teenagers for the future. And I think even post-COVID, there's such a feeling that I'm sensing that teenagers are craving that connection, that community, that deep discipleship with how to navigate all these, you know, immense topics and perspectives coming up now. And for them to just be so discipled and their spiritual formation, and for our connect leaders not just to be those mere facilitators that just, you know, have a group for an hour, put a bit of food out, pray for 5 minutes and go play basketball the whole time. Like, you know, we'll play basketball, hang out, have all this fun, but journeying through and wrestling out these massive things they face at school. And, you know,
what are the most common things, Jesse? Well, just give us one big common area that you are dealing with and that your connect pastors are dealing with.
Alcohol, definitely. Vaping through schools. And 100%, I think, teenagers sexually interacting with each other, which is just all online, sexting, all that kind of thing, is such a major thing for teenagers.
So what line do you take in terms of trying to help young people handle all that?
I think I just want to look at how Jesus did it, and even how the Bible says it. Jesus came in grace and truth, and it's not half of grace and half of truth, or it's not all grace at once and then all truth the next. It's 100% grace and then 100% truth. And I think I agree, Jesse, teenagers are craving the hardcore truth. They're craving what the Bible actually says and craving what their journey forward looks like. So delivering that truth in love, you know, what it says in Ephesians 4, delivering that truth. And we as youth leaders do not have the right to deliver truth unless it is in love. And that's where it lands and roots in a teenager and through relationships, Sarah, as you said as well. So grace and truth, Pastor Phil, just like Jesus, I think. And easier said than done. But
I agree that truth on its own is too blunt and hurtful. But grace on its own is too lax.
Yes.
It's like anything goes, and Jesus still loves me. I can live however I want. And unfortunately, that just destroys a person's life. So actually delivering grace and truth. So you need very courageous young ministers these days to actually be able to talk with the parents and talk with the students and then talk with, you know, I guess school leaders and people in positions of authority who actually will be in many times speaking a different message to what these kids are hearing at church. So how have you found, Sarah, that, you know, yourself handling that confusion that they might be feeling?
The best way that we found is definitely by not being so quick to jump to conclusions or assumptions of our own when they share something with us. I think maybe like specifically, even with, you know, a student that we've been walking with that's experienced same-sex attraction, a woman who used to be on our youth team who I adore, her name is Maddie, but I remember she said it so clearly one time of like, it's really powerful for us to be someone in their world who says, just because you feel something doesn't mean it's your identity.
That's right.
And I think everywhere else, what they're getting from billboards, from media, from TV, from you name it, social media, all of it is like, your feelings are what is most true about you. And so you need to run like full on with those things. And so when students come to us with different things that they're walking with, we try to, again, like make it a safe space where we don't go, okay, great. Like this means that this is who you are now and this is what you're struggling with. But really kind of get into their heart of like, okay, talk me through how we got here. What do you believe that God says about this area? And really try to get to their heart and their understanding of the gospel, because we also try to lead students to a personal revelation. Like, yes, we have the truth and we're going to stand on it and we're going to share that with them, but we also want to help them like ask the right questions and really get to a personal revelation of their own so that they can develop a personal conviction that helps them walk in freedom from whatever it is they might be struggling with. But I'd say that's the best thing, is not automatically labeling them with the thing that they're coming to us struggling with.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
no, that's amazing.
So good.
Jesse and Andrew over there in Atlanta, like I said, it's been a more traditionally more conservative bastion of values and Christianity. It's kind of like considered the South, I guess, in America, and that's always been thought of. But increasingly, it seems to me over the years recently that that's been changing, and that must have an impact on teenagers there.
Yeah, you know, I think we're just across America and across the world, we're struggling with a lot of the same issues that, you know, students are facing with their identity. And I think really there's more of these communities that are being built on these false truths. And these communities are basically trying to win these young hearts, because they know if we can win the young people, then we have more support. And, you know, there's a lot of churches here in the South, especially in Atlanta. I mean, we have Free Chapel down the road. We have Highlands next door in Alabama. And, but we're all facing the same issues. And I think like for us, we are just creating a sense of community with students. I will say, I won't share a name, but like we have, a young boy who's been coming back to church to kind of, they were gone during COVID. I think their family was really, you know, hit by COVID and everything. And this high school boy has been coming back to youth ministry, and he came to our summer conference, and now his parents have been coming back to church. And this is a family that was in our church for a long time. And now his sister, who struggling with those issues, struggling with those identity issues, because she's finding community that's, you know, trying to tell her, hey, this is where you have family at. Now she's coming back to church and she's still struggling with that, but she has found friends here. And so really building that community around them, I think is really important, because they're actually trying, they're really seeing what true identity looks like in Christ.
Yeah. No, I do think that sometimes we get drawn into attacking and standing for what we're against rather than standing for what we are for.
Right.
And my experience has been that if the Holy Spirit pours out on a person and they become filled with the Holy Spirit, he's like an internal counselor, and they become convinced from the inside about what you know, whatever is troubling them, and they start to see truth. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can provide an accepting, loving environment, but also an environment of supernatural power, and the Holy Spirit is able to find a way to fill them and to get them baptized in the Spirit, there's an awakening in that moment.
Yeah.
To, for goodness sake, what have I been thinking? I found that when I first met the Lord. I found Jesus when I was 19, so kind of like a teenager. When I went out the back, I said to the guy who was just talking to me, I said, what about all the other religions? You know, because I was a complete pagan, a heathen, and I didn't know anything about God or Jesus, but it did seem to surprise me that there are all these religions in the world, and instantly I knew that Jesus was the way. And it instantly troubled me, though, because I said, what about all these others? And the guy who was talking to me, he didn't start an argument. He didn't respond in any way. He said, oh, the Lord will talk to you about all that. And you'll find that as you just keep following Jesus, you'll gain understanding about these things. And we had a lot of things wrong in our life. It wasn't like they tried to clean us up on the first night, but they put up with us, you know, as we went through changes for the next year easily, and getting rid of things and realizing, oh, you can't, you know, swear like a soldier all around you. You just realize you can't. Oh, you're not really meant to be sleeping around. Oh, you're not really meant to. And it dawns on you because the Holy Spirit takes you at a pace you can handle with getting rid of the old life and coming into the new one. And your salvation is based on having Jesus in your life, not on how magnificent you are. Mm-hmm. And none of us, well, other than obviously you guys, but none of us are magnificent people yet. And we're all on that journey, constantly assimilating the new nature that God has given us and becoming more like Jesus. Yeah. I'm not sure that's ever going to happen within our own life. So just some closing thoughts from each of you about the future, what you're planning on. And if you can just give us like a minute each, that'd be awesome. Go for it, Jesse and Andrew.
I think one of our big passions right now is building our leadership team. We got handed a really great leadership team, and we've built on it, and some have left and whatever, but we just had Mac Lake here at our church. And one of the things that he said was, don't build for the need, build for the vision. So if you only have 5 leaders, and you're asking God, okay, give me 200 students. I want 200 students to start coming to my youth group every night, every week. Most likely, he's not going to give you 200 students if you don't have the people to care for those students.
Right.
So that's been a really big burden on us, is to build our leadership team, invest in our leadership team, train our leadership team so that we can pour a lot into them, and then they can go out and pour a lot into these students, to where the students are then going out and it becomes a real trickle effect.
Perfect.
Building our leadership team for our students.
That's discipleship. And that's exactly the answer for the generation coming up. Yeah. Jesse Ditchfield, tell us, what's the secret to a massive youth revival in the future?
Come on, eh? There's no silver bullet for sure. There's no one way, absolutely. But if I could say anything, I think what I said before, connect groups, I think, are the sleeper giant of the future for our teenagers. Mm-hmm. And I love the quote that says, you know, culture eats strategy for breakfast. Like, I think there's many different ways you can do youth ministry. There's many experiences of how you can run a night, or how you do connect groups, or how you do service night, all this sort of thing. But I think undergirding it all needs to be this culture of growth, this hunger in our teenagers, and that we foster that culture of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of that, like you said, Pastor Phil, and to see these teenagers grow. I agree, Andrew and Jesse, get them growing into being leaders. So developing leaders, fantastic, growing leaders, training leaders. What does it mean to be a leader? To be a leader means to serve, you know, to be great means to be least. So pouring into those next gen leaders who are going to lead the next gen too.
There's a great book on discipleship. I'm not sure if you've seen it, written by a guy called Phil Pringle.
Yeah.
Good one.
It'd be good to take a youth group through that book, you know, for over a period of whatever, a few months.
Agreed.
Sarah, how are you going to face youth ministry in the future in LA?
The first thing that comes to mind for me is the church as a whole. I think our heart will always be, how are we helping students fall in love with the bride of Christ? Because I know that some of our fruit as a ministry can be shown right now, but we really believe that the majority of our fruit will always be shown after they've left our care. And so what happens when they get to college? Do they have a love for the bride of Christ that holds them there and helps them stand fast when they no longer have maybe the fun youth service or this or that? And so everything that we want to do in the future is continue to look at all the open doors that God has given us, like the high school that we're connected to, like the Bible club we get to run on campus, like the neighborhood group that we're starting in our home, and always really come back to, okay, how are we connecting these students that we have here in these open doors back into the church? And so very much like building up those students' leaders, getting them on teams, like helping them fall in love with the bride so that they will know that they are going to commit their lives to building it and being a part of it, is really what we are committed to doing and what we want to go after wholeheartedly.
Fantastic. Well, give our love to Josh, Sarah, and thank you for that. The great words of wisdom. We're praying that he gets healed. Josh gets healed very quickly, and I'm not sure where Eloise was this morning. Jesse, probably.
She's working out. Right. She's like,
she's a fitness freak.
She's hardcore.
She is. Amen. Well, anyway, guys, thanks so much for taking the time out to share with us this morning. I know it'll help and encourage a range of pastors and youth leaders around the world. God bless you. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Look forward to talking again soon. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.